You know, Derek, as we stand here and just talk about all of the asshole-ish things we really want to do and have wanted to do in the last couple of days, I don't even know if it's appropriate because we have guests in the studio tonight.
Right, but I mean, we've had other guests in the studio that we haven't held back in front of, and we know these two people quite well.
I was going to say, do you realize who you're speaking to? So the
lovely voice on the other end, and you have to actually get close to the microphone. I know you're only 4'9" off the ground, but you need to be within 6 inches of the microphone there, King Fan. For those of you who may not know, we have a good friend of the podcast and a live Cheaters Never Win raffle winner, Ashley McLaughlin. You may better know her on Twitter as by Quick, and did I do that right?
You did, Mike. You did.
I tried to, you know, I mean, Bob Miller looks up to me, and I just try to make sure that I don't disappoint.
You didn't. I'm sure he would be proud.
Good. So Ashley's in studio with us tonight. She's going to be talking all of the trade deadline stuff with us, all of the other things that we're going to run through tonight, Derek.
Look, she won the raffle for better or for worse.
Yeah.
And it's just a damn shame that she has to join us now in the season as opposed to, let's say, 15 days ago?
Yeah. At least she wasn't here for the last podcast because, woo boy.
No, that was really a poor way to treat a guest. And I'm glad that, Ashley, you didn't have to be subjected to that, at least in person. Because
Corey Lavallette is dead.
Is he?
No, that's...
I've seen him tweet at least a few times. I think he's fine.
Rumors of his death have been greatly exaggerated. We hope to not kill you, Ashley.
I hope you don't. I would appreciate that.
So let's jump right in here. Ashley, what are your thoughts on the Carolina Hurricanes' moves at the trade deadline? You see, that's why folks tune in for analysis. Fancy stats and analysis and being grammarly correct. Am I right, Derek?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're you know, actually, we're going to have a little fun tonight. We have...
just a little?
We're going to have a little fun tonight. Ooh. We have Steph on a little bit later. I believe it's Stephanie Phillips. Stephanie is the writer for Kicking Ice, which is a new graphic novel that is being produced in conjunction with the National Women's Hockey League. We had her on a little bit earlier to talk about her great Kickstarter, and man, does that look like a cool project.
Yeah, except for the fact that the antagonist in the thing has to be named Derek, spelled the right way, so like credit for that, but man, what up with that? Why do I have to be the bad guy? Don't answer that.
I won't. Ashley, why does Derek have to be the bad guy?
I mean, some things they just, you know, aren't wrong about.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Right. I love you, Derek.
Dropping knowledge, dropping bombs. Her first 5 minutes in the podcast. Steph's here. Ashley's here. I'm here. Derek's here. All of the National Hockey League caliber trade acquisitions are here. All of the guys who we were sad to give up their contracts are here.
Yeah. It's a room filled with four people.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Derek, I'm trying to hold it back. I don't want to.
No, you let it loose last week, and we will get to the fact of how Friday's game against the Penguins broke me.
Yeah, we've been broken a lot. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be a fun episode. Stick with us. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Ashley, the honors, ma'am. You can tell Derek to do what he does.
Hit that damn X button.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section 328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Yes, shockingly enough, the one thing Ron Francis could have traded away for some sort of value and didn't, the fact that we are still a member of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network.
Eee!
Caca!
Whippoorwill!
Who knows? Thank you, guys. Bottle mix beer review coming up later.
Oh, we've got some gems. Actually, the one I'm going to review is not even in this glass yet, and I've been told it's better than what's in this glass.
Wow.
So that makes me... very excited.
I had a prairie bomb before the podcast. I win.
That explains why you're in a good mood.
Oh, yeah. That explains why. 13.5% Imperial Stout will
So, Mike, did you buy a beer with the ABV of our playoff chances? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thanks, Micah.
Because I did, too, and this is 6%.
Ooh, ooh. Oh, at least I'm the one who's got a little bit of positivity up in here. Derek, what's happened since the last time? Because let's talk about like the history of this podcast, right? And Ashley, feel free to jump in here. Normally what happens is I save my rants, right? I save my rants. They traditionally player focused. Elias Lindholm got one last year, turned around his season.
Like a squirrel hoarding up acorns for winter, you stockpile the fuel for your rants.
And Justin Falk. I gave him, you know, I just gave it to him, and then Justin Falk went out and I believe murdered the Los Angeles Kings. Correct, Ashley?
You really want to go there, Mike?
We're going to talk about Mitch Marner in a minute. Don't worry.
Okay.
But so, you know, I kind of helped Falk and I did all that stuff, and then I was like, okay, I gave it to the Kings.
I like that it's now you helped Falk.
Yeah. Trash can dweller. But then I was like, I let it all out, and I was kind of thinking, well, maybe this is the thing that turns the team around. What's happened since we were last behind these microphones, Derek?
It reminds me of the sound that Ashley made a few minutes ago into the mic of just fart noise.
Yeah, I mean, but...
So last week we talked to Corey on, what was it, Wednesday? Tuesday, Wednesday, and during that 4-day break.
Right, during the 4-day break, we had lost to New Jersey, we had been shut out by the Islanders.
Right, and then that Devils game is what made you just implode.
Right, when we lost in overtime and got a point, but it was one of the worst games of the
season. Right, so, okay, on the heels of that, and the heels of your, I would say, absolutely justified rant against this Hurricanes team, they get 4 days off, they make zero changes to the roster, and then they go out there and play a Metro Division opponent.
Also zero changes to the coaching staff, let's point that out.
Yeah. And lose 6-1. So, for those of you who didn't watch that game, can we trade? Because I would love to have not seen that game. If you could, like, get that little Men in Black device and just remove that game from my memory, I'd be better off. But if you weren't there, you didn't watch it, and you didn't see how soundly the Canes were beaten in every facet of the ice, just know this. Soccer fans, especially the OCS Raleigh, they love to sing all game, and we're so glad that the Oak City supporters are there because they made that game marginally more tolerable with their levity, their energy, and their singing. But by the third period, Mike, Ashley, Dan, everybody who's listening to this, soccer fans lost the will to sing during the game.
Yeah, it was hard to watch because, you know, one of the lead guys, Ryan Jernigan, who is one of the lead guys over at OCS, the Oak City supporters, I saw him over the weekend after the game, and he said, man, he goes, I'm sorry. And I was like, dude, why, don't apologize. I feel bad that you guys had to come to a bad game. He goes, not often has the will to sing and live been sucked out of my crew. He goes, but in that third period, we were done. I mean, I haven't seen Dun like that since, you know, before the day Dun bought the team.
Yeah, an inch thick steak left on the grill for 3.5 hours wasn't that done.
Yeah, it was over.
It was just a shameful performance.
But there was a chance, Derek, right? You know, we're going to Detroit. We've played well in Detroit. We're going to go up against a lesser quality team that's already packed it in, that's trading away all of their star players. So, I mean, assuredly we're going to win in Detroit, right?
Ashley, I'm going to turn to you on this one. So, I know we've talked. The Kings are the team that you know you love. You lived in L.A. for a while. You're not a bandwagon Kings fan. I believe, you know, you have the ink to prove that you are not a bandwagon Kings fan. And I say that to set up the fact that the Hurricanes, while you may love the Hurricanes, are your second team. And you don't know them the way that we do. But you know well enough that after everything that happened Friday and everything Mike just said about Detroit, you knew how that game against Detroit was going to go, didn't you?
I sure did. It was not going to go well.
Seriously, when the Hurricanes should beat a team, we don't. May I direct your attention to the Avalanche games last year when the Avalanche were an abject failure. This team just does not beat the teams it needs to, and this team doesn't win games when it needs to. So you combine those two things, and you've got a recipe for disaster, and maybe they got, you know, completely fixated
rage
by the $5 hot and ready pizzas.
Four.
Huh?
Rage level currently 4.
Oh yeah. Yeah, talk to me, Kit.
Range level increasing. Rage level 5.
It's just so bad. Like, I don't know why this team is scared of success. I feel like that's what it is, because we'd won three games in a row, capped off by bludgeoning the Kings in the first period alone.
Derek has now reached rage level 6.
We just start losing. We go 0-4-2 when Pittsburgh has reeled off, I don't know how many wins in a row. Philadelphia, who I think had the carcass of Michael Layton in net this year, and they've won 9 out of their last 10. Other teams are reeling off. And Philly lost 10 in a row earlier this year.
You're talking about before last night, the Metropolitan Division leading Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, who at one point lost 10 games in a row this year.
And they could not do anything except fire Dave Hackestall. So I ask you, Ashley, someone who has lived in an organization who did not fire their coach for quite some time. Dave Hackestall, 10 consecutive losses. Everybody inside Philadelphia was calling for his head. Now in Raleigh, shocking news. No one wants Bill Peters to be the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes any longer. You, as someone who appreciates good Albertan Western Canadian coaching, should we stick with Bill Peters through all of this, or has the time come to go out and get that shiny new coach?
Well, there was a time where I was the eternal optimist. I was the type of person where, back in the Kings' rough days, I would say, oh, let's stick with Terry Murray. He knows what he's doing. There's a reason he's head coach and we're all fans. I was just, you know, all about keeping him, all about sticking with it. I see a lot of similarities in this Hurricanes team that I saw in my Kings a few years back. And what was kind of that turning point? Getting rid of Terry Murray, bringing in Daryl Sutter. I'm just saying, that was when we started winning. That was when we won our two cups. I'm thinking it may be time for a change.
Are you thinking it might be time to hire Daryl Sutter?
I would be 100% on board with this decision on principle alone.
Again, very different from our guest last week, who Mike said in self-preservation would not want to be a reporter or a journalist in front of a Sutter, and I understand that, but I don't think that we need to replace the runner-up of the World's Most Albertan Man contest with the winner.
I mean, we could.
I think the only thing that would be more Albertan than like a Peters to Sutter transition was if we hire Sutter and then replace him with a steer wearing a cowboy hat that is carrying a sack full of oil money.
I was going to say, carrying a sack full of oil. And I'm like going, Derek, there's only one problem with this.
Yeah, cloth is porous.
Cows don't have thumbs.
Oh, yeah. No, if it's a you know, a steer, it can hold it on the horns. I'm miming this out for those of you who can't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I
express myself visually.
Oh, and Derek, also congratulations on actually wearing pants with someone else in the studio.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I usually wear pants, Mike.
Whatever.
Usually. Usually. I didn't say always. Usually.
So, okay. We've heard that we should hire Sutter. We've heard that we shouldn't hire Sutter.
Don't come at me if it doesn't work out.
We've heard.
Reminder,
that
she is at save by Quick. You pick the number of A's and you might get the right account.
Maybe so.
I think this is the dichotomy of Caniac fandom as we sit here, though, Derek, right? You know, we were excited. You go back and you listen to this podcast just a month ago, and we're in the playoff hunt, and now we are currently 6 games since we have secured 2 points. We are 0-4-2 in our last 6. The last game we won seems, while it may seem like forever ago, Ashley, real quick, can you do me a favor? Can you look at the computer and tell me what was the last game the Carolina Hurricanes won?
It was February 13th, 2018, where the Carolina Hurricanes defeated my beloved Los Angeles Kings 7-3. Insert Price is Right fail horn here.
That was like, I was seeing the live call and response with a consumer and Alexa. Like, you went with the full year in the date. That was splendid.
That was nice.
And it didn't feel like there was any resentment towards you in her answer either. I thought that was a really, really sweet thing to pick up on.
And here's the thing, though. We did not win that game. We won the first 26, 27 minutes, maybe.
Would you say we started on time?
We absolutely... No, actually, you know, I don't even know if we started on time. It's the fact that Jonathan Quick did not start on time, and potentially the defense in front of him did not start on time, because we know, as Carolina Hurricanes fans, it can't always all be on the goalie. Because, you know, it's not their fault, Derek. Derek, it's not your fault.
I know.
Derek, it's not your fault.
I know.
Okay. But Derek.
Hey, man, cut it out.
Derek, it's not your fault.
Oh, but it is.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah, but Derek, it's your fault. Bully. Right. Bully.
That's fine.
All right. So, I mean, how long ago does that feel? I mean, remember that? Justin Falk has a hat trick that may or may not have actually been a hat trick. You know, Jonathan Quick gets pulled. We're skating in. I think it was 6-1 at one point, and then all of a sudden it's like 5-3, and then oh my God, Kane's gonna Kane.
Question.
Yes, sir.
How does it go from 6-1 to 5-3?
I don't know. It was you know, we were ahead, and then we were all certain we were gonna lose, and then we scored a couple of goals at the end. I don't know how hockey works, Derek. All I know is how I felt, and how I felt that was the last time I felt happiness, Derek. I mean,
like in life or just around this team? Because if it's the latter, I get it. If it's the former, let's hug it out.
No, absolutely. Let's hug it out later. But no, it's around this team. I mean, we were surging. We had opportunities. There were things to do at the trade deadline. Derek, we were going to go get players at the trade deadline because this.
And we got one, baby. Greg McKegg. With a peg for a leg.
I thought Greg McKegg had an arm for a leg.
Whatever. I don't give a shit. He's not going to play for us. He played 26 games in Pittsburgh.
He was these two-time Stanley Cup champions third-line center, Greg McKegg. Thank you very much. I mean, let's be honest. Jim Rutherford never gives up good pieces in a trade.
Hmm?
Actually, literally, that's one of the things Jim Rutherford never did. I mean, he would give you all of the horrible contracts after he got you on the team, but Jim Rutherford's really good at not giving up pieces during a trade.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, big trade.
Greg McKegg.
So here's what needs to happen in my... And I've heard some other people talk about this. If you listen to Kane's Cast with Mike Maniscalco and Mike Smith, shout out to you guys.
Great listen.
Yeah. But they talked about the fact that they need to use these last 19, 20, however the hell many games are left, and please God be fewer than more, to evaluate some of the Charlotte Checkers. Bring up a guy like Zikov. Bring up, they mentioned Andrew Miller, who I'm not sure if that is just an EA Sports create a player name or someone who's actually doing well in the AHL, because I, truth be told, don't follow them that well. But
so, Derek,
bring up a Zikov. Let a guy like Walmart actually play more than 8 minutes a night. Do some things to evaluate what talent you have, because Dan and I were looking earlier at the UFAs and RFAs around this team next season, and we are both very fearful of who's going to get contracts next year, especially one of them whose name happens to rhyme with Derek Ryan.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, but before we get into Derek Ryan, and I completely lose my ever-loving mind.
Yeah, JC, if you're listening, turn this podcast off in a few minutes.
So... You know, we have talked about on this podcast pretty much all season how well the Checkers have been playing. Derek, I took a second to look at the AHL standings, and if the AHL season were to end today, guess who is not making the playoffs?
Hershey Bears.
This young, vibrant Charlotte Checkers club.
Really?
Not in the playoffs as we sit today.
Like, for real, though, not for play?
Yeah. Yeah, for real. Yeah, I mean...
Seriously, from everything I would have heard, I was like, oh, they've got to be leading or second in their division.
Yeah, no,
right?
No. Not above the playoff. Not currently above the playoff cut line. Handful of points out.
So they get that all that hashtag winning culture down there?
Exactly. But, and you know, we've talked about that. Like, Jeez. Hey, do we want to leave some of these guys down there, keep them together, let them find out what it's like to win? And guess what? They don't even know how to win down there.
If you want to teach guys how to just miss the cut line, do it here.
Oh, Derek, can you hand me that glass of milk there?
There's no milk in here. This is pure salt.
I was going to say, because that was spicy. Your take on the Charlotte Checkers, Ashley? Go ahead.
You're welcome for Valentin Zikov. Oh, the God. End.
Oh, that's, so like I'm
and,
again.
And, wait, and Roland McEwen.
And Roland McEwen again. You're welcome.
So I'm not trying to pick at a scab. Were those both in the Andre Sekera trade?
They were.
Was one in the Sekera trade or was one in the Versteeg trade?
Ooh,
no. The Sekera trade
was for Zikov
and a first round pick.
Let me just put it this way. We got fleeced so bad in both of those deals in hindsight that I just try not to remember the details.
Or did you get fleeced so bad in those trades that Dean Lombardi signed a guy to a no-trade clause?
We got fleeced. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I don't know that he knows how to do that. So if he did that, he clearly was not of sound mind.
You know how Mike was last week on the show? I could get started and I could end up like that. So for the sake of everybody listening,
I'm not going to get started. No, let's get started.
No, I promise. You don't want to keep me angry.
Let's talk trade deadline, shall we?
Okay.
The Los Angeles Kings acquired before the trade deadline on the night they were here in Raleigh on February 13th. The general manager of the Los Angeles Kings made a preemptive trade and traded for perennial first pairing all-star defenseman of the early 2000s, Dion Phaneuf.
And I believe still Pierre Maguire's favorite hockey player.
Absolutely.
God, he loves Dion Phaneuf.
So initially, what was your take and reaction as someone who got to experience a player-for-player National Hockey League trade? How did you feel? And maybe more importantly, do you want to talk about, as a Kings fan, how you feel of the loss of Gabo, 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 Gabo?
Sure. So to give a little background, obviously I was at the game because I get to see my team play in person typically once a year because I now am a Raleigh resident. And my phone was blowing up about midway through the third period with 10,000 both Kings and Hurricanes fans tweeting me saying, "Did you see that Phaneuf is going to the Kings?" It got to the point where I stopped watching the ice and started watching the bench because I had been notified that Dion Phaneuf was pulled out of the game. So I'm watching the bench thinking, who am I going to see literally walk down the tunnel and never return? I knew in my mind it had to be Gabo, 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 but he was still on the bench. So I said, I'll believe it when I see it. Sure enough, Nick Shore and Marian Gaborik were gone. I am a little bittersweet that I got to see them play in their last games as Los Angeles Kings, but it was time for Gaborik to go. He did wonderful things in our 2014 Cup run, but there comes a time when all good things must come to an end, and he fell off a damn cliff after his last injury.
I'm not going to lie. Until I watched that game a few weeks ago, I legitimately forgot that Marian Gaborik was in the league.
I mean, you think about this.
He used to be one of the most feared players in the world. I
mean, to be fair, he missed the first over half of the season with his 15,000th injury of his career.
Now, does he get a silver silver cast for that?
I believe
so. I don't know how the league awards.
I believe he does. Did you know that he wears a life alert pendant under his gear?
Is that a bit?
No.
That no might be the best bit ever on this podcast.
The hesitation before no was like, I don't want to say this out loud, but no.
I'm biting my tongue a little bit.
Wow.
But I will say this. Obviously,
Does it call Slovakia or whoever's close?
It's location based.
Okay.
Okay, so we're talking trades and all this stuff. And shockingly, Dion Phaneuf, who has been abjectly horrible for the Ottawa Senators this year, comes in, immediately gets put on the second pair and then gets pulled up to the first pair, starts playing with number 8. For those who may not be aware, number 8 for the Los Angeles King is Drew Doughty.
And he is not being traded to Toronto. Thank you very much, Mike.
We'll talk. We'll get there. Don't fast forward.
I'm just throwing that out there.
Thank you for doing that to the tune of Just Keep Swimming, by the way, Mike. That was nice.
So he gets, 3 goals in his first 4 or 5 games as a Los Angeles King?
That's affirmative.
Back to being
see what happens when Good Lord, what happened?
Oh, gosh.
You see what happens when Eugene Melnyk isn't around you?
This is what happens when we mention Ottawa Senators and Los Angeles Kings hockey. The entire 328 headquarters immediately starts falling on itself.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Nah, that was just my husband breaking things.
That happens. So let I mean, let's talk about the trade in Los Angeles that didn't happen, that it's been rumored by many people since the beginning of the season.
People named Mike Flanagan, anyway.
Many people other than I. You can go out there to the hockey Twitters and actually look.
I'm not reading HF boards. It's a personal rule of mine.
It's okay, Derek.
They're fun.
Mitch Marner has been highly, highly coveted by the Los Angeles Kings, and the Toronto Maple Leafs have been holding out for Drew Doughty. And while it has not happened yet, based upon what we think is going to be a, you know, first round flame out against the San Jose Sharks, if the Kings lose to the Sharks in the first round, like I think all of hockey expects, based upon their lack of ability to score, is it time to trade an aging defenseman for a young, vibrant scorer, the likes of Mitch Marner?
I would say no. I believe Drew Doughty is a cornerstone of the Kings, and I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon, and I'm not just saying that for sentimental purposes.
So basically what you're saying is you look forward to the Los Angeles Kings becoming the Chicago Blackhawks of the Pacific Division, overplaying aged stars who won them Stanley Cups 2-3 years ago.
Many cups as the Blackhawks have in the last 10 years, I'll take it.
You're only one off.
That is true.
I mean, you've only got to get... I mean, and you know what? You could probably get them there, Derek? Mitch Marner. I'm just saying. Mitch Marner for Drew Doughty is gold.
So the next cup the Kings win, we should keep an eye on their backup.
Who's their backup again?
Yeah, I'm just saying he's going to be our guy we signed for 4 years, right?
Probably. Oh, God. Are we going to talk
goaltending? No, we are not doing that tonight.
Let's talk goaltending.
We're having fun, Mike.
Fun, Derek.
That's going to be fun.
Fun! We're having fun! Sorry.
Which is why I wanted to bring up Derek Ryan. Because we talked about it a little earlier, Mike, and I wanted to talk about Derek Ryan.
Should I excuse myself now?
No, you should absolutely stick around. Because we're going to talk about Derek Ryan.
where did Mike go?
Mike is breaking everything in the studio right now. What happens when you talk about Derek Ryan? So last time we were here, we talked with Corey about why, dear God, why did Derek Ryan play 20 minutes? And we thought it was more than 20 minutes. I looked it up. It was exactly 20 minutes, supposedly. So, okay. We're in Boston last night. God, it was just last night. It feels like forever ago. In overtime, I know the team is without Jordan Staal and the circumstances around that I don't want to get into, but that's absolutely heartbreaking. But we need to play guys in overtime. And we choose to keep playing Derek Ryan, who promptly gets muscled off the puck and allows the game-winning goal to go the opposite way. Mike, I know your friend and mine, JC, is a big fan of Derek Ryan, and he thinks some nickname is a thing that I don't even want to give credence to on this podcast. But rest assured, whatever he thinks is a thing is not a thing about Derek Ryan, because I wish Derek Ryan and the Carolina Hurricanes weren't a thing and they could just go their separate ways. It was a nice little story of the 29-year-old hockey journeyman comes to Carolina, plays decently on the third line, had a relationship with the coach previously in junior hockey, but it's proven that Derek Ryan is out of his depth, gets muscled off the puck, and is being overplayed by a coach who has way too much trust in him for his ability. Thoughts?
Derek Ryan is the downfall of William Jennings Peters.
I don't know that that's not his full name, but I don't know that Bill Peters also allowed for the combined best goals against average in the NHL in a season. I don't think he ever won the William Jennings.
I have spoken.
Okay,
fair enough. I'm speaking about Derek Ryan.
So, Ashley, I know the rumor that Mike likes to talk about is Mitch Marner for Drew Doughty.
Not going to happen.
Okay, but hear me out on this, and please don't interrupt me until I'm done with the whole trade proposal. What about Drew Doughty for Derek Ryan? Now it's up to you. How do you feel about that? Is that cool?
Are you out of your goddamn mind, Derek Ressler?
Language, young lady. On this podcast,
I wasn't sure how, you know, not suitable for work. I should.
It was the right question.
It's actually the right response.
It's the right question, and yes, I am.
I mean, okay. I figured as such, but
if you knew my middle name, I feel like it would have been like called into time out there. Like, saying, ooh, I've done something horribly wrong. The full name's being broken out.
His middle name is Jennings, by the way. I'm just telling you.
Mike, everyone's middle name isn't Jennings. I don't know who told you that, but they lied to you.
Bill Peters.
Wait.
Bill Peters has been lying to me? Oh, shocking. Bill Peters has been lying to me this entire damn season. Hi, Bill. Let's have a conversation, shall we? You wanted to bring this out, didn't you, Derek? You wanted to bring this out? Let's talk about the Boston game, right? You've got a guy at home who you're playing for, right? A guy who's having a damn travesty in his life. And what do? You roll out the line of Derek Ryan, Brock McGinn, and Justin Faulk. In overtime, 3-on-3, because that's what's sure to bring the second goddamn point home. Right, Derek? Jesus H. Christ, Bill Peters. Why don't you take some time to stop drinking the damn Connecticut water? And why don't you talk to maybe Tulski a little bit when you've got guys like, I don't know, Aho, Teravainen, Skinner, Pesci, who, you know, have been known to, I don't know, score in overtimes. Actually out there against the guys who aren't named, you know, Marchand. And I knew Bergeron wasn't playing, but it was the
Rick top. Nash. Rick Nash was out there.
Derek, I hate this team so much.
I do too.
They are ruining my GD life. I'm a happy guy, Derek. We've had conversations. Life is good. I've got a healthy 3-year-old. You know, I'm surrounded by great friends. And still, I pulled a damn picture out of the trash and I put it up on my fucking wall again. I'm sitting here looking at 2006. It's been 12 GD years since Cam Ward made a save against Fernando freaking Pisani. And guess what? Corey Stillman's sitting there looking at him going, I don't know what to do. Because you know what? Corey Stillman does nothing. And since Corey Stillman has done nothing, we have been instilled in this team since 2009. We haven't done a god darn thing. And what does Ron Francis do at the trade deadline? Nothing. Ron Francis, kind of know the guy. Met him a few times. Had some really good conversations. Does he know hockey better than I? Sure he does. But you know what I know? Fandom. And as a fan, I needed a glimmer of hope. I don't care if you had to sacrifice a little extra draft pick. I don't care if you had to pay a little too much. You know what I needed? I needed a glimmer. I needed a player-for-player trade. I needed something. You owed it to the fans who have stuck for you for the last 10 seasons and gone through hell and back, who have watched Eric Skaal have, I don't know, what did he have? 27 frickin' points for the Wild last night. Currently, like, according to Dave Lozo, second in the Hart Trophy, right behind Taylor Hall. You know, there's a couple of guys at Tampa who may argue with that. But, I mean, just Jesus H. Christ. How long? I mean, you think about how many players this team, this franchise, this city has worn down to bitter nubs, and they have died and gone on to have great careers doing other things. Justin Williams left here and was happy for a while. He's back now, and his hair is sad. It's under conditioned. I mean, just what is going on, Derek? It just drains on you. It wants to suck the life out of you. Tom Dundon was here. Tom Dundon's a billionaire and been successful at everything he's ever done. And he is one of the losingest owners in National Hockey League history percentage-wise.
Happy Dundon Day.
Happy Dundon Day. So Derek.
Mike.
I ask you.
Okay, I was like, is there a question in there? I don't really know how to respond.
I ask you. Was Bill Peters justified in rolling out Derek Ryan in overtime?
I thought you were going to ask me a serious question.
That was a serious question.
No, it wasn't.
Because if he's not justified in rolling out Derek Ryan in overtime, are you saying beyond a glimmer of a doubt, Bill Peters is not currently qualified to coach the Carolina Hurricanes? And if he is not currently qualified to coach the Carolina Hurricanes, is Ron Francis currently unqualified to be the leader that Raleigh, North Carolina deserves as the number, as one of the top scoring playing forwards in National Hockey League history. If he is not willing to make a move and fire the coach that you just told me has no reason being behind the bench because he is making horrible decisions, does Ron Francis no longer deserve the right to be the leader this city and this franchise needs?
I mean, I don't know that I'm willing to go full Gotham City on, like, you know, the hero that we need. But, yeah, I'm done with Bill Peters. I'm not saying he's not qualified, but he's done here. He's done all he could for this team. It's done. It needs...
Don't... Okay, he's
no,
done
no,
all he can
qualified
do.
Because I think he can be a very good coach, but I just don't think he's the right coach for this team right now.
You just said he made bad personnel decisions in a critical time on a team that is potentially,
yes,
according to Ron Francis, still in a playoff hunt.
Right.
And if he's making bad decisions behind the bench for a team that's still in the playoff hunt, why in the hell is the guy who is the top head of this franchise, who ultimately holds his life and well-being in his hands, continuing to allow him to go down a path that you know is not only not sustainable, but at this point, non-existent?
I mean, do you want my thoughts on it?
Yes.
Or do you want me to disagree with you?
No, I want you to stop being on the fence and want you to.
I'm not on the fence at all. I think Bill Peters is a I think he's a qualified hockey coach. I think he can be a good hockey coach. I think he has been in previous seasons a good hockey coach to get the most out of this Hurricanes team. But I think that time is in the past. He is no longer the best possible coach for the Hurricanes, and he's got to go.
So he's Terry Murray.
Sure.
Okay.
Fair analogy.
Way to bring it all back, Mike.
Thank you.
And thank you for letting me actually, you know, answer a question. Appreciate that.
Hey, you pushed me here.
You're welcome. I mean, we could just look longingly at each other.
That
but
was awkward.
Things aren't going to change anymore. And about Ron Francis, I am beginning to be on the fence. Like, look, on one hand, yes, I'd like him to make those moves. And I completely agree with you that for the fans, he's got to do something to show that he's trying to make the current team better, not just looking for, hey, what's the long-term perfection that I have in my mind that may never come to fruition? On the other hand, I look at guys like Shevel Dayoff and David Poile, who were very, very reluctant to make trades for years and just stockpiled quality assets. And hey, look who the two of the three best teams in the Western Conference are, Nashville and Winnipeg. So on one hand, I weigh like, okay, you need patience. On the other hand, you've got to do something now. And, you know, at least in Nashville, David Poile, he didn't make a move at coach for a while because he had Barry Trotz. And at least Nashville was hanging around there in the first round of the playoffs for a while and making shrewd draft picks. In Winnipeg, Shevel Dayoff was just being terrible and stockpiling quality picks like Nick Ehlers instead of picking guys like Hayden Fleury.
I don't hate it. I don't know where to go from here, Derek.
I don't either, Mike, but here's the fun part. We got a few more weeks of this hockey season.
Woo-hoo!
To do this crap again.
Actually, we not only do we have a few more weeks of this hockey season, we've got a few more tailgates. We've actually had some interesting hockey to watch the last couple of weeks, Derek. And while I need a break, I think what we should do is we should all take a deep breath. Should relax a little bit, and I think we should welcome on tonight's special guest to talk about what I think is probably one of the most redeeming projects currently going on in all of hockey. And Derek, it's my pleasure to welcome on the podcast. We don't normally get like highbrow people normally, right?
No, because then we wouldn't know what to talk to them about.
No, we absolutely would not. But based upon the suggestion of one of our loyal listeners and followers, they said, hey, reach out to Steph. She's writing this great book, and we should have her on. So we invited Steph on to come on with us to talk about Kicking Ice. It is at Kicking Ice over on the Twitters. Steph, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
We are happy to hear it. And she is, for those of you who want to go find her, she is at Steph Smash on Twitters. Now, is it Stephanie? Or I just assume Steph because we kind of know people by their... Steph's good.
Yep, Stephanie, either one works.
Perfect. If not, it's a little late.
Yeah, it's all. I mean, it's a podcast. Sure. We could start over, but then, you know, we'd be wasting even more of your time. All right, so Stephanie, you've got this great Kickstarter on here for a content graphic novel comic that is being supported far and wide by the NWHL. Tell us a little bit about how Kicking Ice came to be.
Sure. So I kind of grew up, even though I'm in Tampa, Florida, playing ice hockey, actually. I started with roller hockey when I was in middle school, and then as a teenager kind of found my way to the ice, which you can imagine in Florida, I didn't really know ice existed. So I found my way there eventually, and just, you know, I've kind of kept up with it even as an adult, playing in just rec leagues, beer leagues, things like that. And I had this idea for a while that I really wanted to, as a comic writer, write about things that I love. I mean, I find it to be more enjoyable to write when I'm writing kind of my passion projects. So I just kind of had this story that I wanted to tell involving hockey, and a publisher was interested and said, hey, how about we talk to the National Women's Hockey League and see if we could start kind of letting this story evolve with their interest and involvement. And it took off from there.
I mean, the whole thing seems really awesome. And Stephanie, I have to say, as my name is Derek, spelled D-E-R-E-K, I'm reading through your Kickstarter and I'm like, boy, this all seems fantastic. Women's hockey, the NWHL, a graphic novel. It's a great story. And then I get to the part where, you know, I meet the characters and I see Derek is a bully who plays on a rival youth hockey team of Bella and Sky.
I love this.
Derek enjoys teasing the girls by telling them that only boys are good at hockey. So that doesn't make me feel too good. But, you know, if I can play the role, how do Bella and Sky end up proving jerks like me wrong?
Well, I think just by doing what we do, not being deterred. And to be quite honest, as a kid, if I faced some of the challenges that Bella and Sky face, I can't say that I would have been strong enough to just kind of stick to it and stay on the ice. I even now, I'm a crier. I will cry. So if somebody was picking on me, I don't know that my right reaction would be to try to prove them wrong and play even harder. But you know, I've heard stories from friends that are parents that have girls that are playing ice hockey that are just like, you know, my daughter got picked on, and you know what? She's right out there the next day, still playing, still scoring goals. And I think that's pretty amazing. And so I hope that they're encouraging. But also, just, you know, as some consolation for Derek there, being a bully does give him a lot of room to grow and kind of learn. So not to give too much away there, but he definitely has a character arc that develops, and he's not completely negative and terrible.
So I get to learn a little something too.
Yes, you can.
Fantastic.
Learn.
That's good. That's good. Hopefully, we have a running gimmick on this podcast. Derek hates fun. Hopefully, by the end of the novel, Derek enjoys a little bit of fun. You know, you have 8 days left to go on the Kickstarter, Steph, and I don't know if the timing could be better with the culmination of what has been 20 years of frustration for the United States Women's Olympic Hockey Team to finally come home with a gold medal and all of the amazing feelings that they have given all of us. Have you had the opportunity to, you know, speak to any of them or hear from any of them, or even more, has there been, what's been the impact to you kind of on a writer and through this whole thing of, you know, kind of this whole crazy Olympic experience that we all lived just a few days ago?
Yeah, no, I was sitting in bed at 2 a.m., like, I think, 2.8, was it million or billion watcher? Like, some crazy number of people watching women's hockey at 2 a.m. Eastern time. And, I mean, I'll be honest, like I said, I'm a crier. I just started crying, you know, seeing, watching this team and a lot of those players for a really long time for me has been, you know, something I look forward to every 4 years, following them in the NWHL and a lot of them also in the Canadian Women's League, which has been a lot of fun to watch too. So that was pretty amazing to see. And like you said, couldn't be better timing. So one of the things we do hope to do with the book too is, if you are kind of new to women's hockey and interested in following up with what we just saw, which was really history being made, we are adding a lot of content to the book too that will kind of help tell some of the history of women's hockey. And I mean, it's not going to be the most extensive thing in the world, but it is a collaboration from a lot of hockey writers from different media outlets like the Ice Garden, which, if you haven't gone there yet, it's an amazing resource for women's hockey. So we have a lot of writers from places like that that are actually helping collaborate with me to put together a kind of really cool section with artists and photographers. So it'll be kind of a visual history in more of a multimedia way than the rest of the graphic novel is, but still very accessible and engaging, whether you're new to women's hockey or have followed it for 20 years. So.
No, that's awesome. And I know Mike brought up the Kickstarter and he has the page up on the computer in front of me, and I'm seeing that you have already smashed your goal. With still about a week to go. And, you know, my wife did a Kickstarter for a documentary she made a few years ago, and I know you know, the first week and the last week are the, really the biggest pushes in your Kickstarter, and the more support that you can get for Kicking Ice, the better. So how can folks get involved and support this project that we wholeheartedly support? And Mike says that he's very excited to get his hardcover book. I might go for the soft cover myself because, you know, sharp corners scare me. But how can folks go over to Kicking Ice on Kickstarter and support this awesome project?
Yeah, so any of those pledge levels that we have there, we tried to do a little bit more than just publish a book. We wanted to get kind of the community of women's hockey engaged and involved so that it wasn't just buying a story, which is great, but we wanted to give readers more than that. So we actually have one of my favorite items on there. We partnered with a company called Espionage Cosmetics. They make nail wraps, and like they say, they call it nerd makeup or nerd manicures. And so they actually helped us create custom Kicking Ice nail wraps that are based on some of our jersey designs in the book. So personally, that's one of my favorite items in there. And we also have a lot of other Kicking Ice items like wristbands, stickers, enamel pins, and just fun things like that, that we wanted to kind of add to the book itself, to kind of add more of an experience to it and kind of build a little bit of a community and fan base around it.
Well, that is phenomenal. And again, we are very excited to see just where this finishes up. And again, we cannot say thank you enough for taking a few minutes out of your evening to be here on the podcast. At Kicking Ice. Your Twitter handle is @Steph_Smash.
And I love that we got a guest who respects the underscore.
Yeah, respecting the underscore is huge around here. KickingIce.com leads directly to the Kickstarter. Go there, throw her $5 and you get some cool stuff. Throw her a whole bunch of money. Actually, I'm sure if you throw her $1 million, they'll rewrite the book, Derek, and rename him something else.
Try it.
I mean, she's like, try it. Maybe if we do $1 million, can we rename the bad guy Sidney Crosby?
Sure.
Beautiful. Of course, we'd have to spell it a different way because, you know, legalities make him number 78. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, we're just rambling here. It's what we do. So, Steph, thank you so much for taking some time out of your evening. Again, Steph_Smash @KickingIce. Go over, support the Kickstarter. Continue to watch women's hockey. I think that's the other thing we're going to kind of be a running theme here throughout the podcast. What you saw out of Maddie Rhodes and Jocelyn Lamoureux and Hillary Knight and everything was so impactful for all of us. Don't let that stop, because if you watch Carolina Hurricanes hockey like we do, you get to see a lot of bad hockey night in and night out, and there's a lot of really good women's hockey out there that's much more enjoyable than we watch in the NHL most nights. So speaking of NHL, and I know I'm kind of rambling, and I wanted to ask you about this. You are a huge Tampa fan, and as you heard the walls crashing around me, you guys made a trade. We don't know what that's like here in Carolina. As a Tampa supporter, what's been the local reaction to the Callahan-Miller trade?
McDonough, they've had Callahan for years.
Who? McDonough, whatever. I don't care. I'm so bitter. You guys got JT Miller, and I love JT Miller.
Mike, I have to be the bully. It's the role I have to play while Stephanie's on the line with us.
Thank you. What's the feelings on the trade?
You know, I think they've been overall really positive. I just think personally, I really liked Namestnikov. I think he'll do really well in New York. I just have like a personal love for him. The rink that I used to play at is actually the training facility for the Lightning. And one night after a really ridiculously like late 11 p.m. game, the owner of the rink let us into the locker rooms. And so I have a picture of me not knowing too much about Namestnikov other than, you know, I really was excited about us drafting him. So I have a picture of me sitting in his little locker cubby the night before his first training with the Lightning. So I have been always a little sentimental about him, excited about him, so a little sad to see him go, but definitely excited for our playoff push, because I would love to see another really solid cup run.
If we were betting men, and we are, that Tampa Pittsburgh Eastern Conference final is going to be so much fun. I hope you enjoy it. But you're probably going to be busy because you've got books to write and you have books to send out. And we look forward to seeing Kicking Ice in our mailboxes in the very near future. Steph, thanks so much for taking some time out of your night to join us.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Derek, Stephanie Phillips, not only probably a better human and hockey fan than we are, but super talented.
I mean, except for her decision-making in picking names of antagonists.
I mean, But wait, she not only was her decision making of the name bad, she also made sure pre-interview to point out that he was redheaded. And for those of you who know me, I may have, you know, a certain soft spot for young redheaded men. No one clip that out. That's not a soundbite.
Yeah, no, it absolutely can be.
If the price is right. No, I mean, thank you to her for just go with it, Derek.
It's stuck in my head right now, Mike. Sorry.
No, but thank you to Stephanie for taking some time out of her evening. And please, seriously, guys, kickingice.com. I know since we recorded that interview, I've already gone online. I have ordered my copy of the book, and I'm very excited for it. Thank you to one of our listeners at PlayoffBeard80. You may know him better as Dane Shookman. Dane's been a big supporter of hers for quite some time, and the NWHL. And literally, we've talked not much about it, but the best hockey that's been played, Derek, in the last 2 weeks has been women's hockey. And I'll tell the story here on the podcast, but you raised your hand, and people can't see you raising your hand on the podcast. So I will call on you.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
No, I'll wait.
No. Go ahead, sir.
It was going to jump to the next topic. But you had a story you wanted to tell.
No, I did have a story I wanted to tell. And I don't think I told this on last week's podcast. So, as everyone, all 2.8 million, as Steph pointed out, we're watching the women's hockey game at 2 o'clock in the morning. I actually had a sick 3-year-old, so he had woke up, had gotten sick. So when he gets sick, Derek, you may not know this yet, but when your 2-3-year-old gets sick, they want you to stay in their bedroom, and they're completely asleep and they're snoring. But the minute you stand up, they immediately wake up and cry and make you sit back down.
Fun.
So I had been sitting in my son's room for the last hour on my phone watching the third period of the women's hockey game, watched the final, and I, like many hockey fans, were just losing their mind. Although I had a sick sleeping 3-year-old, I had to be completely quiet, you know, kind of doing that quiet scream that we as parents do. Exactly. Yeah, for those of you who are not watching the video portion of the podcast, Derek miming it out perfectly.
Thank you. Thank you.
But the next day, it was replayed on MSNBC NBC Sports Network, NBCSN, at 4 o'clock. And third period rolls around, and it's the second half of the third period. So I grab my 3-year-old, and I was like, hey, man, you got to sit here and watch this because this is important. And he goes, okay. And he's like, who's playing? And I was like, it's the USA versus Canada. And he's like, I like the guys wearing red. And I was like, all right, buddy, the guys are girls, and the team in red is evil. I'm like, that's Canuckistan, and they stand for everything that is bad in the world right now. And he took that to heart. Sorry, Dave Stubbs. But we get to overtime, and he's watching overtime, and he's sitting there on my lap, and we're watching, you know, Jocelyn Lamoureux score that goal, and then we see Maddie Rhodes make that big stop. And there's the Team Canada women are just in tears, and he kind of looks at me, and he goes, Dad, why are they so sad? And I said, well, buddy, they've been training for 4 years, and this was the last game of the season, and they lost the game. The other team basically won the Stanley Cup, and they only get to do the Stanley Cup every 4 years, you know, for like this big of a thing. And I was trying to, you know, tough to explain gold medals to a 3-year-old and, you know, the prominence of, you know, Canadian women's hockey. So I'm trying to put this in a good thing, and then they do the handshake line, and he kind of sees that everybody's smiling, and he goes, well, Daddy, that's good. They do a cheer up line. And I was like, okay, that's the cutest thing ever. But what happens then? He goes, okay, Daddy, let's play. And you've been to my house a couple of times, Derek. You know that there's a hockey net and sticks and balls and all of the stuff kind of all over the house. So he grabs the sticks, and we're playing ball hockey. And he goes, and I see him try to do Jocelyn Lamoureux's goal. And I was like, oh, isn't that cute? Of course, I went complete Matty Rhodes. And I was like, I'm your dad. You are not scoring on me, bitch. Even if you're 3 years old. Because in due time...
So you weren't wearing your darling jersey.
I was not. Okay. So in due time, he will score on me. But with now, I stopped it. But then, eventually, he got one in. And when he got one in, he threw a stick on it. I'm like, buddy, we can't throw our sticks in the house. He goes, but Daddy,
all of the girls threw their sticks when they won. So we sat down and we had to talk about why they could throw their sticks and why it was important. And then later that evening, it kind of hit me. I said, my three-year-old son just spent the last 45 minutes emulating the best U.S. women's hockey team in the last 20 years and potentially the best U.S. gender aside hockey team in the last 20 years. And damn it, if that wasn't cool. I mean, that was that. When we think about all of this crazy stuff with hockey and rants and how much we hate this team and they're ruining our lives, it was in that moment, like, okay, there was a couple of teachable things with my kid, but there was this, he saw pure joy and he wanted to emulate pure joy. And that was at the core of this sport of why we love it and why we loved 2006 and that Fernando Persani save so much. And that's why she loves King Tifficult and all of those guys that she loves.
Yep, love them.
So, I mean, it's just all of, you know, it's all of that. And I just thought, for to have a three-year-old boy, basically, you know, I want to, in a couple of years, I want to keep going back and be like, yes, dude, that's, if you want to play street hockey or you want to play hockey and you want to learn a move, sure, TJ Oshie's cool, but let me show you the Jocelyn Lamoureux goal you really wanted to do. And that was cool.
No, that is very awesome. And that's a really cool story to hear. So, Mike, where I was going to go is another really cool story, and it pertains to this Sunday's tailgate.
Oh,
so
yes, sir.
I know we have talked about on Twitter, we've kind of teased a big announcement, and life sometimes gets in the way of actually putting hands to keys and getting some things out there. But I know that we've been in touch with the folks from Winnipeg. And there's a reason that this Sunday against Winnipeg is a big deal. And it's not just because we get to boo Paul Maurice during the game, but the tailgate is going to be particularly special, Mike. And you are a little bit more connected to this than I am. And when it comes to the rah-rah things, I know which one of us is better, and it's not me. So, Mike, tell the folks listening why this Sunday's tailgate is so important. Why they should all show up. I will say, you're listening to this podcast. This is your invitation. We are in the East Lot grass out by the big sign on Wade Avenue. Come join us. Say hello. Even if it's only for 5 minutes or even if it's for 2 hours, we would love to meet you and say hello. So, Mike, what's going on with this Sunday's tailgate?
So, this Sunday's tailgate is a little special, and this Sunday's game is actually a little special. Again, you had mentioned, Derek, that we often get together to boo Paul Maurice, and it is one of my favorite pastimes. It's been one of my favorite pastimes in my, you know, fandom of the Carolina Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. But before this season, one of our friends, Kat Silverman, many of you may know her. She is a goalie savant. She covers some of the Phoenix Coyotes, but she writes for In Goal Magazine.
And The Athletic.
And the yeah, thank you. And
she
The Athletic.
She does phenomenal work with The Athletic.
Yeah. Kat Silverman is amazing, but she reached out to us and basically said, hey, I want you to meet a guy that I met on Twitter. His name is Graham Fortilage, and Graham was friends with a guy named Carter. And Carter was supposed to go. Carter was a lifelong Winnipeg fan and was supposed to go to his first Winnipeg home game ever. And on his way, or I believe the week before, I'm going to mess up the story, he passed away in a tragic car accident. And Graham came up with the idea if he wanted to honor his friend and respect his friend, and the way he thought he could do that and kind of honor the family was he was going to get a jersey printed up with his name, and he wanted to take it to a Winnipeg Jets game, which I was like, man, that's awesome, right? I mean, whatever. I'm like, is he kickstarting funds to buy something or get tickets or whatever? How do we help? And Kat said, no, we kind of have come together as a hockey community, and we think not only should Carter and, you know, when we say Carter, it's kind of Carter's jersey now, but should Carter not only go to a Jets game, Carter should get the chance to experience every National Hockey League arena. And this has kind of turned into something really special to where now Carter's jersey has, via hockey fans and blogs and different people, taken a journey across the National Hockey League this season to a bunch of different arenas. And Graham kind of met us virtually We talked it out, and he chose us, Section 328, to be the representatives who have the honor of hosting Carter and Carter's jersey this weekend for the Winnipeg Jets game. So I will receive the jersey later this week. I have a couple of special things planned with the Carolina Hurricanes. But as Graham and I were talking, I said, well, what do you want? I mean, do you want just pictures of that center ice? Do you want some guys to sign it? And he says, you know what? I want you to treat the jersey like Carter were there. What would happen if Carter came to a Carolina Hurricanes game? And I said, okay, man, look, if Carter comes to a Carolina Hurricanes game, he's tailgating with us. And he's tailgating with us for a few hours. And he's going to meet a bunch of people, and he's going to hang out with a bunch of people that he doesn't know, and it's going to be great. And then he's going to come upstairs with us, and he's going to sit around, and he's going to chant, and he's going to yell, and he's going to scream. So this Sunday, come out to the East Lot. We're probably going to set, it's a 7 o'clock game. It's a late Sunday game. But we're probably going to set up around 4:30. Let's say the tailgate officially kicks off at 4 o'clock. Let's call it four. We're making it.
Yeah, sure.
And, we're going to have Carter's jersey out there. We're going to have Carter's jersey to the pregame skate. We're going to get some pictures with the team, some of the folks in the franchise. We're going to get some pictures at center ice. Wade Minner is going to make sure Carter is actually going to be in the PA announce booth with him to introduce the Winnipeg Jets players before the game. But we're going to have Carter and Carter's jersey at the tailgate. And I think it's important that we all, as a fan base, show the respect to Carter. So, again, this is an official invite out to you and everybody in the sound of our voice. If you don't listen to this podcast, please just share the fact of we want to have as many Caniacs as possible show up in the East Lot, because what's important to Graham, and more importantly, the family of Carter, is kind of seeing what could have been, and they're really enjoying these pictures. So I would love a picture with hundreds of Caniacs and us with the jersey, just showing respect and honor to Carter, and yelling and screaming and having a good time. I mean, this isn't, we want him to experience what it would be like. So we're probably going to have a few pops in us, and we may have a few shots in us, and we're going to play some cornhole, and we're going to do a lot of stuff. But it's going to be awesome. So this Sunday, you know, we thought about a lot of things. We thought about doing a couple of charity things, but unfortunately, like you said, life got in the way. We haven't had a chance to organize as much as we would like, but I think what's important is that we mm-hmm. show Carter the love and respect that we have, which is the hockey family that is coming together, and we're going to show him a great game. After he does Winnipeg Jets players introductions in the PA booth, he's going to make his way up to the third level. He's going to sit with us in Section 328. After the game, we're immediately going to take Carter's jersey, throw him in an overnight UPS box. He's going to make it to New York, because he's going to be in Madison Square Garden on Tuesday night. And then there's going to be a culmination to where the last game of the season, Graham and Carter's jersey are finally collectively going to make their way together with all of Carter's family to that Winnipeg Jets game that they needed to be to. So,
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And again, it's, I don't mean to be, you know,
no, it's not a melancholy thing. I think it's just, it's truly fantastic. I'm very happy that we get to be a part of this. And I hope as many people who are listening to this podcast as possible are able to come out at the tailgate.
And please share it. We're gonna have a blog post up on Section 328 with the launch of this podcast. It's going to be out there. CBC has covered the journey of Carter's jersey. NHL.com has covered Carter's jersey. So there's going to be that. If you see us in the arena, I'm going to be carrying around the jersey with me. As many pictures as we can get with as many fans as we can get. I've had some folks who are Winnipeg fans who have reached out to me from as far as Richmond and as far as Asheville and as far as Georgia, who are coming to Raleigh for the game, who said, look, if you guys are going to have the jersey, we want to make sure we get a picture with Carter.
That's awesome.
So if you want a picture with Carter and Carter's jersey, come find me. I'm the former fat guy on row C, and I will make sure you get taken care of.
I just want to add something real quick. We talked about the USA women's team winning gold. We talked about this awesome story with Carter's jersey. And really the thing I take away from all of this is, yeah, we talk crap on other teams, we diss each other, but at the end of the day, we all love hockey, and that's awesome. And that's what brings people together, and that's the way it should be.
Hell yeah.
Look, and, you know, Ashley, you're the perfect example of that, right?
I am.
You are a transplant from the area of sunshine and lipstick, and you ended up in Nightdale.
I sure did.
It's amazing what true love can do, but it is the fact we would not know you were it for the fact of.
I thought you were going to say loathe. I was like, wow.
I'm kind of crazy, but.
Before the Marner trade, at least. But no, you've kind of become part of this crazy little hockey family that we have, and we thank you for being here. We thank you for your donations to not only our Patreon, but more importantly, to the Kids and Community Foundation, because this hockey, you brought it together. This hockey community is really special, and as much as we like to eat our own, you know, this hockey community is much like, you know, a big brother.
Always watching you?
Well, we're always picking on each other, but if anybody on the outside of the family decides they want to pick on us, you're about to get the full force of everything that is hockey, hashtag like my sport. Right, Derek?
Right on.
All right. We said we weren't going to have an 82-minute podcast this week, so we should probably
get
to moving. I believe we have a special segment that we do maybe just this week and maybe other weeks too. It's called Cheat Mail. Cheat Mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail. Derek, first cheat mail question comes from you.
First one, and this is actually going to be directed to Ashley. This is nice. From our friend Matt Peterson at Matt Peterson PE. On a brighter note, isn't it great to see Eric Staal playing so well again this season?
Well, I'm just going to start off by saying my best friend is a Minnesota Wild fan, so we are constantly being chirped about Eric Staal and his play as of late.
So, yeah, I mean, that sounds like good for him, but not so good for you, right?
I would say so. I mean, based off of my interactions with Canes fans, I would say they're that group that are thrilled for him and love him no matter what. And there's that group that say, oh, fuck him. He sucked when he was with us. Now all of a sudden he's, you know, resurging. I mean, I guess it just depends on which end of the spectrum you fall under. I'm happy for him. I've always been a fan of all the Stalls, and I'm happy he's doing well, just as long as it's, you know, not in the playoffs against the Los Angeles Kings in a potential matchup. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know the whole Peterson family are very big Eric Staal fans. Mike, what you got?
You know what? I'm happy for Eric Staal. I think when we talked about the trade, we said Eric needed a fresh start.
Absolutely.
And Eric was always, while he may not have been the type of leader or the type of player you and I may have wanted or enjoyed, he was absolutely a good ambassador for this franchise. He was a very good hockey player, and I, for one, am very happy to see that he's having success in Minnesota. And we mentioned the Staal family, and we're not going to, you know, go deeply into it, but we do just want to offer our sincere condolences to the entire Staal family, because that is a very tight-knit family. We've been fortunate enough to meet the patriarch and the matriarch, Henry and Linda, during our time as Hurricanes fans, and whether it be Jordan and Heather and you know, Eric and Mark and Jared and just the whole family. Our heart breaks for them and the loss they have dealt with this week. So, you know, heart thoughts and prayers absolutely going out to the Staal family. And we hope Jordan and family return to a little bit of normalcy in their life in the near future. So Derek, let's go on after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we do. This one comes from, my name is Foster. Why is Francis afraid to get people for a little bit higher price when Dundon said he'd be willing to spend the money? It seems like he's angering Bill Peters and me. I put the "and me" part in there. That was
yeah. Funny. So my thinking is Ron Francis is afraid of making the wrong move, and whether the wrong move is, you know, trading for the wrong guy, and the guy he ends up trading for is a bust or not a good fit, or he ends up trading a piece or a prospect or a pick that ends up being something great. I feel like he is more afraid of the risk than embracing the challenge of trying to make a trade. And I think it's Ron Francis more so than a lot of GMs, but I think I am so tired, and Ashley, I bet you are too, on NHL trade deadline day or whenever GMs talk about how hard it is to make a trade. Like, yeah, it may be hard to make a trade. It may be hard to make a trade, but I just feel like it takes more guts than it does skill to make a trade. Like, it's just just make the damn move. You may end up wrong some of the time. You may end up right some of the time. But make a move. And I don't feel like Francis is doing that. So, yeah, he's definitely angering some of the fans.
I believe since we do have a special guest here in the studio and kind of during the second half of this podcast, I may have raged a little bit and ran a dump truck over allowing anybody else to talk. So, Ashley, do you have any cheat mail questions over there?
I do. This one comes from K to the Arl.
Ooh. Ah, Carl Kikas.
On a scale from cookout milkshake to fresh Bowberry biscuit, how hot is Bill Peters' seat right now?
On a scale of cookout to Bowberry, I would say he is currently... Actually, okay, I may not everybody may get this one, but that's okay. He is currently William Finley IV after the Fyre Festival fiasco.
Ooh.
Hot seat hot. Because I can't think of anything in Raleigh that was more hot than William Finley IV after the Fyre Festival.
I would say if he were a wing flavor, the wings would be so hot they'd be featured on Man vs. Food.
Ooh. Ooh, I don't hate that one, Derek. Let's see here. What else? What else do we have here?
I kind of want to go to the F, Mary, Kill questions. If I'm being perfectly honest with you.
Yeah. Let's go to lazy cheat mail. I believe we have a live F, Mary, Kill here in the corner.
We do. That's where I was going next. Thanks for reading my mind, Mike. This question comes to us from Dan McLaughlin at Kaniac 176. Dan, what's your question?
F, Mary, Kill, NHL events in Raleigh. The All-Star game again, an outdoor game, or the draft when the Canes actually make the playoffs the season before?
This one's actually easier than it should be.
Yeah.
So I'm killing the All-Star game, flat out. I've had that experience. The All-Star game is very cool. It's neat, but there's a lot of polish on it that I've experienced it once. I don't need to experience it again. The outdoor game, I'm effing that. Because I think it's going to be a really cool experience, but I think there may be diminishing returns on it. And I'm marrying the draft. Mike and I and some other folks from 328, Tom, have been to multiple NHL drafts together. And it's at those drafts where you get to meet a lot of other hockey family, like we talked about earlier. You get to meet good people in situations where you wouldn't ordinarily get to spend 30 minutes or 3 hours just talking shit about your favorite teams or anything around hockey with people that have quickly become good friends. We've had lots of podcast guests that we've met at the NHL draft. And then sometimes you get to run into NHL GMs and coaches and just shoot the breeze with them because they're checked out for the summer. So I'm marrying the draft. I'm effing the outdoor game and I'm killing the All-Star game.
Derek, I 100% agree with you, almost.
Hmm?
I belong to the idea, gosh, this team has worn on me. I believe in the idea that the All-Star game should be converted to an outdoor game.
Okay.
So I believe if you convert the All-Star game to an outdoor game, I am effing that all day long. You and I both know I'm marrying the draft because I love the draft. I want to hold it. I want to snuggle it. I want to caress it. I want to teach it to do just bad, bad things to me.
Wow.
What was the one I'm killing again?
It doesn't matter. You kind of lost me. I've been doing the bad things to you.
Can we get back to the draft real quick?
Yeah, right.
All right. So, Derek, we'll keep on this line. We'll go to one of our favorite friends and Section 328 resident, Kelly Hoover. She is at Kelly Hoover 27, F. Mary Kill. Screaming endlessly into the void, throwing oneself into the sun, renewing season tickets.
No, not renewing season tickets.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not renewing season tickets.
Ashley, I'm going to go to you on this one. So, F. Mary Kill, screaming endlessly into the void, throwing self into the sun, not renewing season tickets.
I'm going to kill not renewing season tickets because, let's be real, we all know that everybody in this room is a glutton for punishment.
True, we're suckers.
Let's just stay with it. Huh. I'm going to F screaming endlessly into the void because... Ooh. It's something that's, you know, it gets the stress out. It's nice once in a while, but you don't want to do it continuously. So I guess I have to marry. I'm sorry. What was my third option?
Throwing self into the sun.
I guess I'm marrying throw self into the sun.
And here's the best part. That is the right answer because once you throw yourself into the sun,
you're done.
You're done. You're done. Like you can't do anything else. So that was close. That is the correct answer. Mike, I've got one here for you. This is one that guy standing in the room said was a must answer. And from a guy we've already mentioned on tonight's podcast, our friend Dane at Playoff Beard 80. F, marry, kill. And this one could be a tough one for you, Mike. The Kane sign Tavares. The Kane sign Coach Q. And the Canes sign Draisaitl.
Okay, so I read this one. I did a little show prep on this. The Canes cannot sign Draisaitl because Draisaitl would have to be traded for, so that is null and void. So I immediately have to kill that. Dane, I Fair. Wish you to feel shame. Shame, Dane. Shame. Because for asking a bad question, you must now shave your beautiful playoff beard Ooh. Into a Fu Manchu plus soul patch.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We are harsh and not fair on this podcast. So I am immediately killing Dry. I am going to marry Jonathan Tavares because, I mean, look at him. I mean, I want to spend a lifetime with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's talk. If we got an F, I mean, Joel Quenneville, I mean, that mustache has seen a ride or two, right?
That's a good point.
I mean.
Yeah. He has a fair point.
I mean, okay.
I see three more that need to be answered.
Okay, run them off rapid fire because we've got a beer, we've got a review, and
okay.
We've got guests we've kept locked up in a room with me farting for 2 hours now.
Actually, screw it. Two more.
Okay, go.
F. Mary Kill, Jumbotron Freecell, DJ Mista Ill's playlist, compilation of Kane's branded local ads.
Can I just kill me and not have to answer that question?
You don't want to see Jacob Slavin for Coyote Tractors?
I am going to F DJ Mr. Ill's playlist because once is enough. I am going to kill the compilations of Kane's ads because those will get you nowhere. I'm going to marry the Jumbotron because, I know we're getting a new one anyway, and that's going to like being
and
a widow.
Freecell is a
girl.
Very underrated solitaire game.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. And you want me to just go ahead and read the last one too?
Read the last one. Ashley, this one's yours.
All right. I hope you know a little bit about wrestling, Ashley. This is from Ed at that Edmund guy. An all insufferable edition of F, Mary, Kill. Penguins winning the cup again. Jinder Mahal as WWE champion. Waiting in a cookout drive-thru that extends into the public street.
Oh, God. I'm going to have to kill the cookout line because who wants to wait in a line like that? Good Meanwhile, point. I will F the Penguins winning another cup because, again, get it over with, end it, let it be over and done with. I know jack shit about wrestling, so I guess I'm going to have to marry whatever that reference was.
You're marrying Jinder Mahal as WWE champion.
I don't know what I just got myself into, but sure.
You got yourself into steroids. Congratulations, Ashley.
A 6'7" roid-raged Indian guy from...
Canada.
From Canada.
Awesome.
Do you like gynecomastia?
Sure.
Well, you're in luck because you've got it now as your WWE champion.
But you know, as I'm thinking about it, I think I've got to go somewhere different because I'm gonna marry the Penguins because they've got Phil.
Sir?
If they've got Phil Kessel,
why?
And if I could spend a lifetime eating hot dogs with Phil Kessel, I'm okay with it. I mean, I gotta kill Jinder Mahal as the champion because. Yes, and I'm okay with betting anything cookout because they have hush puppies and hot dogs, and if you put them together, basically you have a threesome that turns into somebody having corn dog nuggets as a baby, and I'm fine with that.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Derek?
Sure. I want to talk about this beer.
All right, so Bottle Mix Beer Review. Derek, you went to Bottle Mix earlier today.
You also went to Bottle Mix earlier today.
It was the end of the month for me, and end of the month meant I was splurging, so I bought a Prairie Bomb, which is one of the three greatest beers I have ever put my mouth in.
Wait,
in my mouth.
There you go.
It's my mouth.
Unless you were like bobbing for malt in the beer.
Malt bobbing.
Actually, can we do that at a tailgate? Can we go like bobbing for malt?
Yes. Not this weekend, but April 7th, 2018. East Lot bobbing for malt. But Derek, please go ahead and talk about this beer while I completely sing underneath your entire review. Good luck.
Much like Mike, as he said, I went to Bottomix this afternoon because we don't just talk about our sponsor. We live it. And I went to Bottomix.
1 mile south of 540.
That's right.
2 miles north of the mall.
Yeah. There you go. You can also find them on Untappd if you're like, hey, I'm going to go buy some beer, but I also want to know what I can drink while I'm shopping for beer and or wine. They are a verified venue on Untappd. So check them out there. Check them out on Instagram, the Twitter machine, the Facebook at Bottlemix, BOTTLEMIXX. They share all the new stuff that comes in, so you can figure out exactly what you're going to buy, exactly what you're going to drink while you do it, and watch whatever they have on TV that day. If there's a Canes game on, you can do that there. I went in, I talked to Dustin, I'm like, hey, what do I need to drink? And he showed me some New England IPAs, which I've enjoyed already. But I was like, I reviewed a New England IPA last week from Four Saints. I don't want to do it this week. So he handed me one that's a collaboration from a brewery in Richmond, called Casita something or other. I don't really know where they're from. But it was brewed and canned at Duck Rabbit in Farmville, North Carolina. And what Mike was waiting to sing the whole time during this preamble, the beer is called Lottie Dottie.
Lottie Dottie.
It's a double IPA brewed with pale malt and flaked oats. And it's hopped with Citra, Mosaic, and El Dorado hops. So if you've heard me say it before, you've probably heard me say it 1,000 times. Brewing a beer with Citra hops, to me, is cheating. And cheating in the best way, not in the Cheaters Never Win way.
Which we create. Because that's our mission. So
you're really doing this the whole beer review?
What we say, because this type of shit happens every day.
It does. I do open good beer just about every day. So it's a 16-ounce can. It's 8% alcohol. It's about, I don't know, $3-ish dollars or so. And I'm like, for a well-made double IPA? Heck yeah, that's a good bargain. It pours a really, like, not completely clear, but slightly hazy, deep yellow. Mike, this is really distracting.
I can keep going.
I'm sure you could.
Damn it!
I'd like to talk about the beer without being distracted by Slick Rick lyrics.
Slick Rick, one of the 5 greatest rappers ever. Fight me after you're done.
Okay. Anyway, are you surprised I knew that was Slick Rick?
I assumed you were just going to say it was Snoop Dogg because you're of that generation.
No, I know that's Slick Rick. Anyway, let me get back to the art of storytelling about this beer. It pours a nice, like, hazy, deep yellow, slightly orange. It does retain some head on the beer, which is really nice for the aromas of this one because you have Citra hops, you have, what are the other two, Mosaic and El Dorado. Very aromatic hops, very citrusy, very, not quite floral, but just that, like, rich, a little bit of tropical fruit to them. And being a double IPA, you're getting even more oomph to it. You're not necessarily getting more assertiveness in the hops, but you're getting more of the hop flavor and not necessarily more of the bitterness. And the flaked oats in here, those just kind of round out and add a little bit of texture to this beer. It's mouth-filling. It's delightful. I taste a lot of like orange and various citrus fruits. Hang on one second while I... Oh, yeah, that's really good. It's smooth. It goes down so easy. Like, you can tell this is a beer that is north of 5, 6% alcohol, but it's not incredibly boozy like some double IPAs can be. It's rich. It does have that malty backbone to it, which I think is nice because that balances out the booze and the hops that are in here. It's very well-rounded. It's a great beer. It's got a great label on it, and I truly love this beer.
Multi Backbone is the name of my alt-country acoustic rock Slick Rick cover band.
And you can see them at the Lincoln Theater this fall on Hopscotch.
Yes.
So yeah, go check out Multi Backbone, and while you're doing that, pick up a can, or 4, or 12, I don't care. Buy as many as you want of Lottie Dottie. It's got the like funky deck of cards meets Mardi Gras label on it. There will be a sign on it that says it's the 328 Beer of the Week at Bottle Mix. If you can't see either of those, talk to Dustin, talk to Bruce, talk to the crew at Bottle Mix while you're up there, and say, hey, I want to get that double IPA that Derek talked about on the podcast. And then fill out a 6-pack or a 12-pack of some other stuff and grab a bottle of champagne to celebrate whatever awesome stuff is going on in your life. While you're there, grab a bottle of wine for whatever nice dinner's coming up. just go check out the folks at Bottle Mix. They take great care of us, and we know they'll do the same for you.
Yeah. So, and thank you to all of you who do take care of us, Derek. You and I were both committed to making this not an 84-minute edition of Cheaters Never Win.
77?
No. We're well above 80. So for those of you who made it through, get off the Stairmaster. You're about to die and have a heart attack. For those of you who have listened to this in multiple listenings, thank you guys for listening through to the end of the podcast. Because if you made it all the way to the end of the podcast, guess what? I want to give you tickets. I need the first person who made it all the way through this podcast, who has not won anything from us in the last month or two, you know, That's how rules are done, right? You make them really vague.
Yep.
Anyone who hasn't won anything, I want you to tweet us, hashtag, I listened all the way through Derek's damn beer review. And
it's
wish
a long hashtag.
And wish Mike had kept singing. Hashtag, I listened all the way through Derek's damn beer review, and I wish Mike had kept singing. That first person is going to get two tickets, count them, two tickets to sit with us in Section 328 this Sunday on Carter's Jersey Day to be there with us on a very special night. So if you listened all the way through to this podcast and you tweet us with the hashtag, I listened all the way through Derek's damn beer review and I wish Mike had kept singing, well, you're going to be a winner. And while you may not feel like a winner for listening all the way through this podcast, please know that we appreciate you. We like it when you listen. We like it when you go to www.section328.com, read the articles, read some of the Puck and Sunshine, check out Meg's blogs, read Tom's tomes. We appreciate everybody who takes part in this. We appreciate folks like Dan and Ashley who took time out of their night to come over here, hang out, and do this live podcast sort of with us.
Thank you for having me. I actually had fun.
Hey, all right. See, the payoff led off. And if you had fun listening to this, and you buy stuff on Amazon, go over to section328.com, click on the buy on Amazon button. We make a few bucks. Every time you do that, go to patreon.com. You can get cool t-shirts and all of that stuff. But you've listened all the way through the podcast. You already know there's a contest. You've probably already shut it off by now. So we should probably let you go. Until next week, when the Canes are going to have been on a 3-game winning streak and back in the middle of the playoff hunt. Until then, my name's Mike.
I'm Ashley. Go Kings, go.
This is Derek.
And we are out of here.
Yeah.